All right, now, there's not a lot that I take personal in my life. You know, we're in a culture right now where everybody gets so offended. In fact, I don't even think people are really offended. I think that people are looking for things that they should be offended about. Even if they don't feel offended, it's like, man, I'm not offended personally, but that's offensive. I mean, it's a weird, weird time, and I just don't get offended. And in fact, like 6 months ago, I was thinking, has there ever been a time that I was offended? I couldn't think of any time that I was like so offended that I just took it personal. And maybe you're one of those that takes things very, very personal, and you're thinking about all the dumb things people say and do, and you find it offensive that I don't find it offensive. And if that's the case, I have to tell you, it just doesn't bother me in the least. I just don't take things too personal. I don't. The only time I would... I think is if, you know, it has to do with my wife, my kids, like my mom and my dad, some family, some friends, the church. I mean, but the, you know, and this might sound a little strange, and I'm not sure how to even say this, but like I'll even hear people that if they say things about the Lord, about Christians, that doesn't really shake me either. It just doesn't, you know. I don't know, and maybe it's because I know that the Lord can defend himself just fine. Or I believe, like, if that's what they believe, you know, there's reasons for that. It just doesn't impact me. But there was, you know, so my parents, they had their 50th anniversary last year. And so when they got married, they got married very young. Their very first dance, they were so young, they didn't even pick the song. Like, parents were like, no, you're not going to pick the song. This is the song you're going to dance to. And so I just thought it was kind of funny. Look, let me just show you this. First picture right here. This is my folks, and so 50-year anniversary. First song, first dance. They didn't get to pick the song. They got to pick this song, and so 50 years later, they're still dancing. You know, I just think that's pretty cool, and I love the picture. And so now, and I'm not going to get into details, but during this time, there was some people that are kind of close. You know, it's just kind of family, that type of thing. And there was some ridiculous things that were, you know, who was being invited to their own 50th anniversary and so forth. And so it led to some people that really, like, how could you not be there? Them saying, well, we're not going to be there. And so that I took very personal. And it wasn't because, again, you know, he didn't care either. He's kind of, he could defend himself, but that bothered me. So the individuals. Now I'm all about forgiveness and all that. That's all true. But like, let's say that they came up and because I'm not my dad, I'm not my mom. And if they came up and they were like, hey, you know, man, how's it going? It's been a long time. How's it going over there in Dallas? You know, they don't know what Wiley is. They just say Dallas. It's the general area. How's it going over there and all that? And they could come up and they could even say a bunch of nice things. And they could even give me a gift. And they could even say, man, you're a nice guy, or you're this, and you're that. Or they can say that. They could, you know, even give me money, sing songs, whatever it was. It didn't matter what they... I'd still say, I think we really do need to talk, though. Because, again, what happened, I took very, very personal. All right? Today, we're continuing this series called Brand New, and we're talking about the church, and this is something that people take very, very personal in one of two ways. One, the Lord so often uses the church to bring about life change, and you know, I'm included in that. So for me, very, very personal. The church is very personal to me. And others, well, their experience has been different when it comes to the church. They've been hurt by the church, or they saw what the church was never intended to be, something like that. And so for them, when they think of the church, it brings up some very, very personal things. A lot of people resist the church. And in fact, if you've been that, it might be that you've been that in your life. And if that's been you, if I was in your shoes, I might resist the church as well. A lot of people resist the church. And it's so often for things that the church really should resist themselves. But the Jesus model, that's irresistible. All right, so as we're talking about things that are personal. You have things that have been personal in your life, and me too. And the people take the church personal, either in bad ways. There's good ways that people take the church just very, very personally, and there's things that people resist about the church in a personal way, but the Jesus model is really irresistible. It's hard to resist. You can still resist it, but it's hard. And so we're talking, the series is called Brand New because when Jesus showed up, he brought something brand new. What had been, and even still is today, is something that's called the temple model. And so, Gabe, why don't we put up the slide that shows the temple model, and I'll just do a quick review of that. So the temple model, this is something that we see throughout, really, history. And you see it, the Persians, the Assyrians, the Romans, the Jewish culture, and even today. You have people in, you know, the deepest, darkest jungles that have this model. You know, they have witch doctors and stuff like that, but it's the temple. So what is the temple model? Well, what it is there's always a sacred place to go. It's a sacred place you go that you probably whisper because it's a holy, you know, special place. And don't talk loud, and the kids start laughing, and their mom pinches their leg because it's a sacred place. And that's the temple model. And in that place, there's a sacred text. And so the sacred text, this text is controlled and it's interpreted by sacred men. It's almost always sacred men for whatever reason. So sacred men, and so they have a lot of power, all right? And so, and it's these sacred men that people have to go through to get to God. And then not only that, you can't really, in the temple model, can't be used by God. Not like the sacred people, you know, not by, you know, other people have this special relationship with God that others just don't have. And so, I mean, in order to be kind of a sacred follower, we got to kind of go through the sacred men. And so these sacred men will often put out a bunch of rules. And it's really about that. It's about rules. It's about following these laws that they put in place. You do that, and then you'll be a sacred follower. And then if you're a sacred follower, you're not going to be punished. That's the temple model. Now, let's leave that up. Jesus, he came along, and he brought something brand new. It had never been seen before, and it started brand new then. And today, so it happened. It started, you know, a little over 2,000 years ago. So, but today, when people experience for the first time, it's brand new for them as well. So when Jesus came along, he said, there's no more sacred places. They're just buildings. Because you want to know what's sacred? You're sacred. And you're sacred. That's what's sacred. There will be a sacred text, but you have access to it. You don't have to go through a sacred man. And not only that, it's not only sacred men. It's not only pastors or ministers or the people that are just kind of a little more holy for some reason, a little more focused, that can actually follow me and be used by me to change the world. So one of them is all about rules, and you follow the rules and all that. It's about trying to earn, trying to deserve a relationship with God now and in eternity. And Jesus comes along and says, you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. In fact, that whole temple model, all that did, you look at the prophets, you look at the Old Testament, you look at all these things, they all pointed to the fact that you couldn't actually live up to this. Because of that, you need someone to come save you. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. There's nothing you can do. So you need someone to come along for you. And so it's about grace, which is something that you get that you do not deserve. You can't earn it. So Jesus comes along, and he brings something completely brand new. But old ways die hard. We know this. Old ways die hard in our life. And so we could try to earn it. We try to deserve it rather than remembering that it's about grace, something we do not deserve. All right, now, but here's the thing, and it's so strange. It's a fine line. It's hard to spot because it's such a fine line. We can be saved, you know, have a relationship with God today, and then it'll go into eternity by grace alone. That's how we have a relationship with the Father. But we can live as if it is still all about the rules. And it's so hard to spot sometimes. Now, there's something about, there's a few things about the temple model. And throughout what I'm saying today, I always say this, but I always want to say it. I'm going to say you a lot. But when I say you, I'm also talking to myself. So I want to be clear on that. The temple model is all about you. It's all about the individual. It is. In fact, let's look at the next slide because it's all about me. It is. See, this is what we're basically in us. There's something saying, what must I do or believe to make things and keep things right between God and me? It's like, okay, I've been saved. It's, you know, Jesus died on the cross. I believe and trust, and I've turned from my way and all this type of stuff. It's like, all right, that's great. Saved by grace. And then we come to our life, like, but what should I do? I mean, what is it that I need to believe? I have to have the right thinking, you know. And then if I do this, then I'll be good with God. And if I keep doing it, I'll be good with God, not only in eternity, but today. So it's like, what must I do? And so it's all about you. It's all about works. It's all about, I need to get back to church, which is, we're thinking temple model, a place. I need to get back to church, you know. I need to clean up my act. That's all about us, right? Oh, I shouldn't do this. I should do that. I'm beating myself up because I know I shouldn't do that, but I continue to do that. It's all about us, just every step of the way, just cleaning up our act. So temple model is all about rules. It's all about rituals. But at some point, we have to move beyond. We've got to grow beyond. It's all about me. What's in it for me? What, you know, should I do? Man, I don't really like that, and I don't really prefer that. Me no like, me no prefer, me no want to do, me want to do. It's all just about me, me, me. The Bible tells us that throughout Scripture, it tells us that once you're good, once you've given your life to the Lord, I mean, once you actually have faith in Jesus, so you've given your life to Jesus, you've seen your life, this is the direction I'm heading, it's away from the Lord, and you see where you're headed, you find out about Jesus, what he did on the cross for you, what he did for me, and you say, that's what I want. I believe, I trust, there's something working inside of me, I believe it, and so I turn away from where I've been going, and I go toward him. Now, we mess up all along the way, this is true. But what happens is that big word we talk about sometimes, sanctification, and it's where we become more and more free of sin and more like Christ. Process. But it begins to happen, and when this begins to happen, the Bible's clear. Once that happens, you're good with God, and God's good with you from now on. Like, so it's all this, this feeling of he must be mad at me, he must be disappointed, he knows these things that I do. No, so for us, it's just we got to stop trying to earn. It's just too much for us to carry. We got to stop trying to earn a relationship with God because it's already been done. It's all about relationship. Now, what happened is that this can lead to loophole thinking when it's all about rules because people say the rules were meant to be broken. When there's rules, then what we try to do is we try to find our way around the rules. And we all do it. You know. And so what we start to begin to do is instead of trying to find ways, so we're in a moment, because think about the stuff in your life, I'll do the same. The things that you're struggling with, it could be relationship, finances, forgiveness, all the stuff, right? Whatever it is, you think about that. And so when we're trying to do it by the rules and we're doing loophole thinking, what we do is we look at a situation and we instead of saying, how can I follow the Lord in this? We start trying to think of ways that we can avoid following the Lord in it. We start to try to think of loopholes. Well, the Bible does say this, but it does kind of say that too. I'm taking it out of context, but it does say this and it does say that. So we just try to find our way, and we all try to do that. So we justify stuff. We excuse stuff. It's like, sure, that's my life, but hey, who is anybody else to judge? And, you know, I mean, really, I mean, this is my life, and I mean, God knows I'm not perfect, and I ask for forgiveness. And so, you know, depending on your background, you might think, well, I just need to go to confession. Or if your background is, well, all I just need to do is say a prayer. I'm already forgiven. See, so it just leads to this loophole thinking. It's really kind of funny. But that's the way we are. But temple model, all about me, but the Jesus model, what he brought that was brand new, it's ultimately about him. But it shows itself in our relationship. And you know this. With other people. One's about me, one is about the Lord, and one is about, it's about others as well. So, when we think about the people that disagree with us politically, that's who it's about. When it's people that we just have a bad attitude toward, and we can list the reasons. The people that we'd consider, if we had an enemy, it was them. That's who we're talking about. People that do things to you, your family, things that you take personally, that's who we're talking about. So Jesus, like he said, let's look at John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment. It's very simple, right? That you love one another. Not love one another in the way that you think someone needs to be loved, because then we kind of find, you know, our loopholes. Well, I'd love them, but they don't love me back. I mean, I'd love them, but look at what they've done. I'd forgive them, but how could I? Because really, it's their fault. They should be coming. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. That's a pretty big love. Wow. And then Paul, we'll see right here in Galatians 5:6. And he says, look, for in Christ, We explained this a few weeks ago, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. But basically what this is ultimately talking about, it's not about doing and not doing. I did this, so I'm good with God. I didn't do that, so I'm not good. No, it's not about that. It counts for nothing. It didn't count for anything. What does count? Only faith working through love. It's good. One more verse. Also in Galatians, a little, I think it's Galatians 5, in fact. All right, this is big. Okay, look at me real quick. Look at me. Because here's the thing. We think that because we're forgiven, well, that means I can just do what I want. I can live how I can do it. I can just justify. I can excuse and all this. And Paul, in another section, basically says, you just don't get it. You don't get it. You just don't get it if this is how you feel. And I don't get it. And this was, yeah, you're called to freedom, brothers. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, basically to do all those things you're tempted to do and want to do that go against what God would desire for you. He goes, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law, all the stuff, all those laws, all those commandments, fulfilled, one word. You shall love. It's about love. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. So in Galatians, I love it's all about freedom. And it's saying, look, the old way is it handcuffs you. You just, it's more, because there's, you can list forever. There's a forever list of things to do. And so it can just absolutely handcuff you. Don't go back to being handcuffed all over again. No, don't do that. You have been set free. So learn to live free. If you feel that your faith, if it feels constrictive to you, if it feels like it's a burden, if it feels like it's a have to, I say go read Galatians, because if you don't feel freedom in your faith, then there's something that's just a little bit off. So what Jesus did was a departure from the temple model, 10 commandments, 600 plus laws. No, it wasn't about rules, right? And again, here's the biggest trap. Biggest trap is that we're saved by grace and we're saved by faith, and it's all about, it's that. But then we go and we try to live as if it's still according to the rules. And then Jesus set us free from all that. We're saved by faith, through faith, not of yourselves, what Ephesians tells us. It's not by works. Also, it says in the scriptures that if it's by works, then it's no longer about grace. So what happens is that we blend these things. We do. So I'm all, and we talked about that last week, where people came along, we talked about the circumcision, that we showed that verse, where Paul's coming along and he's saying, you've been set free. Believe, trust in Jesus. You have been set free. Walk in that freedom. Live free. Learn to live free. It's a process, but learn to live free. But others were coming along after Paul, and they were saying, yeah, okay, you know, we're the Jews. We've been part of God's plan for a really long time, and we had to do, oh, you can't believe what we had to do. So it's open to you as well, but there's just a few things that you're going to have to do to kind of catch up. You know, Paul heard about these, like, what? No. Don't go back. Don't go back to that. He's like, I know what it's like, and I'm never going back. You've been set free. Don't live like you're still handcuffed. Now, so here's the thing. We can talk about this, and still, it's so hard to find it in our life. But I think we're going to give some illustrations, and I think that this is going to help us be able to think, wow, I didn't really think I was doing that, but now I think I am. All right, so sometimes I ask questions, and I say, give me your thoughts. This is not one of those. This is one of those where I want you just to think, okay? I want you just to think, and there's a reason behind that. All right, so think to yourself, what is the reason why you should not lie? Right. And don't try to just, okay, well, he's going to trick me on this. This is a simple question. I'm not trying to trick you. This is, what are the reasons why you shouldn't lie? Don't answer, think. Now, if I did one of those where I said, hey, give me your thoughts, I think that some of the answers would be things like, well, it says so in the Bible. And I'm all about the Bible. We've talked about the Bible all the time. And I'm not, you'll see where I'm going. But it says so in the Bible. It's one of the big 10, right? I mean, so really, you shouldn't lie. And so that's basically what our answer will be. But here's what I want us to think about. Okay. If we do it that way, aren't we again just following the rules? I shouldn't because it says not to. And this is the Word of God, and I agree. Let's shift our thinking. Let's see how it's different, all right? The reason why we shouldn't lie, it hurts people. As a Christ follower, it hurts you. As someone who reflects Christ to others, it hurts. You see the difference? I shouldn't lie because the Bible says, no, the heart of it, I shouldn't lie. And the reason is because I'm supposed to love others. People who follow Jesus don't hurt others. It's two different things. It's two different ways to live. One's just a rule that we can justify. Well, I mean, the reason why, I mean, I kind of felt like I had to lie. I mean, they were asking me. I was in a weird position. No, we can justify. We find a way to justify just about anything. All right, let's do another one. Why shouldn't we talk bad about others? Again, now, see, we're already starting to try to think a little bit differently. However, I think that if it was the first question I asked, we would say things like, I mean, the Bible talks about that somewhere, but I'm not sure where. I mean, I remember a sermon about something like gossip and even mentions honey is sweet to the, and I don't know, but I think it's in the Bible. And so really we shouldn't gossip because it makes God bad, you know, it makes God sad. But a different way to think about it is we shouldn't gossip, we shouldn't slander, we shouldn't do these things. It hurts. It tears down rather than build up people. As a Christ follower, if you're a Christ follower, if it didn't immediately address it in the Bible, you would think it doesn't have to. Because as a Christ follower, I don't hurt people. I mean, sometimes I do. I know those examples, but I know when I'm not. I know my heart is that I don't hurt people. I don't want to push others down by what I say in order to somehow try to lift myself up. That hurts me. That hurts others. That hurts. I mean, as a representative of Christ, it hurts. It just hurts. Okay, what about reconciliation with people? Reconcile. It's when something's gone bad and you make it right. Again, it's like, well, okay, I should be reconciled because I think I'm supposed to and I know I have to and it's just the right thing to do and I don't want to because that person really is at fault. And we go on and on and on. Again, there's a thing that I'll say sometimes. It's the thing behind the thing. And it's, we got to get to the heart of things. We got to get to the heart. So when it comes to reconciliation, why would the Father, he does talk about reconciliation. In fact, the whole thing that we're part of is his plan to reconcile the world to himself. And I won't go off on that. But if we're to be, why would he want us to reconcile? Because he's about unity. He's about loving others. But they don't deserve it. If you're a Christ follower, by his work on the cross, by him coming back to life, forgiveness of sins, all that, no matter what you've done, he reconciled you to himself. So whatever it is that you and I have against that person, do you think it really adds up to all that the Lord has on us if it was still about the rules? And it's not. So we reconcile because how could I not? I've been forgiven of so much. How could I not forgive? You know, I once heard Lenny Kravitz. I don't know what he knows about the Lord or feels about the God. I have no idea. But he says some profound things about the Lord. In fact, if you've heard the song, Are You Going to Go My Way? What do you think that's about? He's interesting. He's an interesting. There's a lot of dynamics and all that. I'm not going to get into it. But one of the things is that apparently his dad was something else and was bad. It was bad news, okay? I don't know the story. But he had apparently forgiven him. And then they said, well, how could you forgive your father for that? And Lenny Kravitz said, how can I not forgive my father when my father in heaven forgave me? It was like Rolling Stone. Next question. I don't know what to do with that. I don't have a category for that. And what's sad is that I don't know if he's a Christ follower or not. If he's not, because a lot of us, we can think we're Christ followers and believe in the Father and all this type of stuff. And let's say he wasn't, and he still had that about him. You know, I hope he is, and that's great. You know, opportunity for a lot of influence. But that's reconciliation. Okay, here's one. Because this one, I was trying to find something that a lot of people think, because a lot of people resist the church because they think we're about a bunch of rules and regulations and people telling us what to do, the temple model. And that's the reality in a lot of places, sadly. Here's one that I was like, what if one of those things that people, so I started thinking about just language, the things that we say. I mean, is it even a big deal? Again, we're not talking about rules, but if I were to say, why shouldn't we use certain types of language or talk that's just kind of, why shouldn't we? We put it on Facebook or whatever else we do. We say, well, it just shouldn't. I mean, I'm sure it says something in the Bible somewhere. The Bible, something about the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that means I want my heart to be this. So the Bible says that, so I should do that. Yeah, that's a good one. But I think that most of it is just a rule. It's like, I just shouldn't. And so when I do, then we start falling into it's about rules and it's about earning our way to God. So, well, I don't usually talk like that, so I'm kind of better. It's kind of like the Santa thing. I'm more nice than naughty on that, so I'm good. I'm good. It's all about the rules, right? You know, this verse is not going to be up there. But in Ephesians, you can look at Colossians 3:8 if you want to on that, but it says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. People are watching you. People are watching me. And if we have words that have grace and love and joy and as opposed to other things, then it builds up other people. And so why? Well, because I love people. And for me, if I just decided I'm going to go ahead and just say what I want, when I want, and how I want, that's temple model all about me. That's just how I prefer. That's just what I like to do. That's just who I am. And if you're a Christ follower, there's no such thing as that's who I am. If the Spirit is in you, if you are a Christ follower, then you are empowered. You are brand new. So we can't use that excuse either. What about, this is one parents of junior high, but also teens, because, you know, the big thing that they're dealing with is, you know, the temptation for sex and all this type of stuff and then how difficult that is. And so the pressure that someone would put on someone else for sex. And so why not? Well, because the Bible says you shouldn't, you know, before marriage and you shouldn't, you know, whatever it says and all this about. And we go right to the rules. However, though, you know, what we don't often think is things like, you know, I think that when this person that I'm trying to tempt toward that, when I want to do it, what I don't want to be is that when that person is someday going to get married to somebody else, when they're talking to a counselor or a pastor or a close friend about the things they regret, I don't want them talking about me. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to hurt people. To satisfy, I don't want it to be all about me. That's mutual. But you mean between you and them and God? No, just two. We don't want to hurt anybody, even if it's mutual. And so the question we've been asking in this series, I think it's one of the best questions I ever heard. When we come to that moment and we come to that situation, we don't know what to do. This eliminates our preferences. This eliminates what we want to do. And the question simply is, we hit that moment. What does love require of me? That's very simple. Forgiveness. What does love require of me? Because we could go on with examples with spouses. If we were just for a minute, if you're married, stop looking at what they need to be doing and we just focus on ourselves. And we just kept on asking, what does love require of me? That would change our life and that would change their life when it comes to the student. And how we, you know, parents, if you're a parent, you know how it get heated and stuff. What does love require of me? If you're a student, what does love require of me and how I honor and respect my parents? That's tough stuff. See, when we're talking about this in a real way, it's hard to find a loophole in that. It's hard to find a way, a workaround that. And here's the thing, and I love this. So I want you to think, it's so easy to look at the verses and then we just kind of glance them and they're true. We nod at them. It's like, okay, that's cool. I agree with that. And then we go on and it doesn't apply to our life in any way, right? It's so simple for that to be. And the verses will show, I just want you to take them in. Um, Okay, yeah, let's show the verses. Take this in. It's hard to find a loophole in this. Yeah, sorry about that. Let's go to the next one. This is love. What does love require of me? Well, love is patient. A lot of us, that's a showstopper for us right there. And kind. Love does not envy or boast. Wow. It's not arrogant or rude. We've heard this at weddings. We've done these at weddings, and I think that we glance over, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's fitting for a wedding. But this will get between you and your makeup, man, if you're a girl. Or you and your cologne if you're a dude. And this is in your face. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Man, you can't find a workaround with that. You can't. You can try, but you're lying to yourself. I'm lying to myself. That's one that if we took that this week and just focused on that one, and we really said, well, am I patient? I mean, it's hard to get past the first one. Am I kind? Does not envy or boast. Is not arrogant or rude. Oh, no. It's like, come on. How could I ever? And then we don't need to go back to the last slide. We're good. But I'll tell you what it said. It said that the Jesus, because a lot of people, well, we're just lightening it. We're making it because it's all about love. It's some sort of hippie thing. No. We're talking scripture. This is Bible. Because the Jesus way, it's a whole lot less complicated, but a whole lot more demanding. And that's no joke right there. If that's how we live our lives, I'm telling you, what does love require of me? Imagine if your family, if you and your family, what would that do for your family? And if you don't have anybody like in your home, your extended family or your close friends, the church, if that was you, how do you think you would impact people's lives? Let me change that. How do you think God would impact lives through you if that was you? That changes the world right there. That changes the world. Imagine if as a church that was us, because people resist the church and they have a lot of good reasons, a lot of time. But imagine if that was us when they showed up, when they met us. Because remember, this is not church. We're gathering as the church. Well, imagine if they met the church at a coffee shop or at work, and imagine that was us. That changes the world right there. Because when Jesus did it the first time, it changed the world. Now, this is serious stuff. And when he did it, it changed the world. And again, today, when he uses us, it changes the world today. Temple model is easy to resist. The Jesus way is hard to resist. So the way we show love, God has let us know. We show love by loving one another. Apparently, God, for him, this is very, very personal. It doesn't matter if you give him gifts. It didn't matter if you said a bunch of nice things. It doesn't matter if you sang a bunch of songs to him. If you are not loving, and I'm not loving one another. This is what it's about. And again, if you're thinking, I mean, it's just about love. Love is active. Love is a verb. Love is hard. Love cost the Father his Son. Love cost the Son his life. Love is not some sort of feeling, so in love. No. All right, let's look at John 13. Kabam. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one, sacrificial love. It's the type of love that nobody loves in the way that Jesus loved. I mean, turn to the other cheek, all this stuff. Nobody loves, but we're called to love in that way. Why can't? Hey, don't start trying to follow rules. I'm going to try harder. No, we're free. He puts the Holy Spirit inside of us. tugs on our heart. We have to figure it out. Oh, Jesus, okay. Forgive. That's easy to understand. Reconcile, very easy to understand. Right? All that's easy to understand, and he gives us the Spirit to actually be able to walk in it, to love one another. So he has called us to love individually and as a church. How do we do that? That's next week. Now, next week, okay, as a church, we are where we are, and I appreciate so much about where we are. We can't stay where we are. And we're the church, so again, I'm not talking about a building, but we can't stay where we are and continue to love, because all we have to ask is ourselves a question, what does love require of us? We can't stay where we are, and I love where we are. We have to remain who God has designed us to be. We want to be welcoming. We want to love people. We're just regular folks. That's all going to stay the same. But there are things that have to happen in order. If we're asking, what does love require of me and of us? There are things that have to happen in order to show that love. That's next week. And it's all, we talk about three vital relationships, because God made it very simple. Love God, and love within the church, love one another, and then love people who are not part of the church. Okay? Very simple, whole lot more demanding. So I want you to start praying about it, because so next week we have an announcement. It's big. It's important. And so you have to be here. You want to know what our church is going to be, what we are about, what we're going to grow into, then be here. Now, I'll say this. It's Super Bowl Sunday. It's Super Sunday. And so what I want you to do is first, we're going to have the gathering here. In fact, I think we even have a slide. We've got a few things coming. You have an opportunity. We'll do this one quickly. Men's Monday night. It's called Lead, Follow, or Get Out of the Way. That's starting on February 8th. Let's get to the next one. If you're interested, let me know. This is next Sunday. Huge announcement. So, but I want you to, just for fun, it's Super Bowl Sunday, so wear your favorite sports shirt or jersey. If you just have a shirt, wear that. Except Vince, because he likes the Saints. So don't wear the Saints. No, just kidding. Saints is actually appropriate, if you think, in a way. And so wear your favorite jersey, wear your favorite thing or whatever, and we're going to make a big announcement. It's huge. We're going to talk about the future of our church. And then in the evening, we're going to have we always have a Super Bowl party. It's a lot of fun, so bring food, have fun. All right, but I want you to be praying, because and I'm not even going to direct your praying, but I just want you to maybe ask yourself, what does love require of me? That's it. And then think about a church, because if you are part of our church, then you are the church. So what does love require of us? Ask both those questions. That's a good start. Let's pray.